when you were first learning, I mean, did you seek out different styles and just try to learn one style at a time?
I never even thought about no styles when I was learning. I listened to a 7/8 record, and what I did, I couldn't get the guitar the same time the record. I trimmed my stick like a pencil, and I never had to get on T-modified cars, and the cabinetry was hanging upside the shed, and I took my mom's scissors, cut it down to 2 and 2, and I cut me a real thin band, a rubber band out of it, and I put the stick over the neck like that, brought the rubber band down on this end and pulled it up tight, and brought it over on this end of the stick, and pushed a lot of it down the neck till I got the same tone as record, and we called it a shelf back then. Shoved it right down to the record plate behind the record. That's how I learned to play. I never thought anything about no style, anything. I played that.
But the records that you chose, did you pick a record because it was somebody that who was playing that you admired? Or was
you didn't know what it was, black people, white people, who was on the record. Was no names on it, nothing. Lead peddlers come up in the country with furniture dealers, and they brought these old record players to wind up, and they brought just boxes and boxes of records. And my older sisters were doing day work and house cleaning for people, and we'd buy whatever records that we was able to buy. And then they would come around once a month, every 6 weeks, and collect whatever we was able to pay them on. And that's how we come with the records, and that's how I learned to play, but we wasn't thinking about no style. And didn't know who was on them. I didn't know for the longest that Uncle Dave Macon wasn't black. I swear I didn't. For the longest, because I was singing it on the board. It's true, you had the beauty, yeah. But you didn't know who it was. And I'm telling you all the truth. I mean, that's the way it was. You know, it was so many race records back then. Black people's record wasn't so with the white people's records. I mean, it's just the way it was.
You just. Like music.
We like music, we like to hear widely bought the records, and all the other neighbors around now would come and listen to the records, and that was something they liked. Well, you tell that man to leave us one of the records when he come. That's where you got scattered all around the country where I grew up at. It wasn't no store where you could go buy nothing. It was stores too that you could go buy some cast in. Some baking powder, soda, sugar and stuff like that, but after going buying some, and the thing is, it just wasn't known, wasn't that kind of stuff. If then out of course anybody like that, I'm full of talk, you see. You have a question.
Speaking of Lightning Hopkins, any of you have material from him?
Lightning Hopkins? Yeah, we had some of his records, but Lightning Hopkins was much later than Blind Blake, Lemon Jaffer, Jim Jackson, and the Lemon People. We had some of Lightning Hopkins records. He didn't get started here until maybe in the very late 30s or early 40s, Lightning did. John D. Hooker was out there. I can remember some of the artists. Old Jimmy Rogers was just most popular. He was the most popular musician he was back in the late 20s and very early 30s. And I know when Jimmy Rogers died, people hooped and hollered and cried, wasn't dead when Elvis Presley died. I swear it did, and I'm telling you all the truth. And Jimmy Rogers, I believe in his day, was both most of the most proper musicians as he was. He did, I believe, just as much music as any artist did in this country. You take every country and western thing that's out there, music that's based on old Jimmy Rogers, I'll be frank with you.